Happy Hanukkah. Tonight is the fifth night of Hanukkah. It's really special, and it's even more special because I'm gonna get to speak with Liba from Spirit Fit Life, who is super energizing and inspirational. She is a woman from Arizona who has this organization, Spirit Fit Life, who helps women from all walks of life reach their goals, whether it's in confidence, fitness, whatever it is. And she's going to share with us her journey, how she started it, how she got to Ninja Warrior, and just her idea of confidence and how to maintain confidence and everything we need to know. So I hope you enjoy. And whoever's listening to this on podcast, it's also available on video, so feel free to go to YouTube. And I'm looking forward to hearing feedback. Feel free to leave comments or just email hannah@hannabana.com and share with anyone that you think it might be valuable to. Enjoy. Hello, Liba.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here.
I know, we waited so long to finally make this happen. So, Liba, you are the founder from Spirit Fit Life. And I've been following you for like the past little while. And I want to hear more about your journey. What is Spirit Fit Life? How did you start it? Tell us.
That's loaded. Okay. Should I start with how I started it?
Go for it.
Okay. So, Spirit Fit Life has been around for about 4.5 years now. Before I started it, so I did a lot of things. Like I was a doula, a childbirth educator. I owned my own personal training gym. I ran nonprofit programs for teens. I did a lot of different things. But what I really realized was that I wasn't really helping people. I was like partially helping them and then leaving them hanging. Like it wasn't actually really changing and helping people. And it was something that I knew was missing. And everything I've always done, like I enjoyed it, but there was always like this like heaviness, like it wasn't like now I feel like the time flies. I don't even know the sense of time because I enjoy it so much, right? So I knew that there was something missing. And, you know, it really all started with my own journey of myself, which, you know, was the start of my story. Like I have a daughter, my firstborn is Tehila. And she was born with hair, but she lost all her hair at the age of about 3. So right now she's a bald beauty. And you know, she was little and it was my first kid. So I was young. I lived in Israel and, Yes. We lived in Israel, until she was about 4. And so I was like a young new mom and I never heard of alopecia before.
Alopecia.
I literally went home and Googled it. Literally. So like that, I was in America this summer and no doctor picked it up. In Israel, I went to the doctor there. They're like, she has alopecia right away. And so in the beginning, it was like, this can't be. Like, of course she's going to grow her hair back. Like what girl doesn't have hair, right? Yeah. And then pretty fast, I realized that, okay, this might stay. And the first thing was like, how in the world am I going to raise a daughter in this world that is so much pressure? Who has no hair, let alone a healthy daughter? Yeah. I myself struggled so much with my own confidence, like, and I didn't, and I had hair, and hair for me was like a big part of my beauty. I had really long blonde, like light white blonde hair, and everyone knew me for that. It was like a big part of who I was, even though I covered it then, right? So it was just like, yeah, it was like a big thank you. It was a big, big part. So it was like, there was so much emotion there, but the main thing was like, how am I going to do this? Like, I'm petrified, right? Like, you know, so it became very clear that the only way to do that was if I myself was confident. Like in myself, if I looked in the mirror and I felt really good, that is something she would say. And I didn't. Like people think this is how I was and how I am always. Like I was so far from this. I was so insecure and uncomfortable in my own skin to an extreme. And what I really understood was like, you can't fake it. No matter what, you can't fake it. You can't pretend. You can't internally think it, but not say it. You can never say a word. They'll pick it up, right? So that was where my journey started of like working on myself and building myself and my own self-confidence until the fact of like, I never even, like people used to stare at us and like say comments and say weird things. And especially in Israel, people are very straight up, right?
So
and you, right, they'll be like, Matasen! like as if I did something, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, when we went back to visit a few years later, I was like, why did I think people in Israel stared at us? Like, because it didn't matter. Like, we joke about it. We laugh and people, like, stare. Like, look at that person on the right. Right? Like, there's no negative emotion attached. But right. That was, like, because I wasn't giving off any negative emotion or any pitying or any victimizing. And so that was where my journey started. And it turned into, like, me, like, really, like, my passion of understanding the value of what a mother has in her family, of her own health, of her own mental health, that like if we can change and we can grow, then we're going to change the world. Like generations change. So we put so much into our kids and we invest in them and this and that, but like we don't understand the value that we have in their growth, you know? So that's a big part of like what Spirit for Life is. Spirit for Life is a program that helps women become the leaders of their life by building strength from the inside out, in a nutshell.
So from what I'm understanding is like you guide women to find their inner confidence in their own life so that like to just change their life.
So it's like building strength from the inside out, right? A lot of women, they're willing to, they want to change physically how they look. They don't like how they look. They're not comfortable with their own skin, mm-hmm. right? So that's why they go on diets and do all this stuff, but yeah. It doesn't really help because internally you're not changing. So right. I want to help women actually really whatever, like they want to be stronger physically, change it any way for it to be real, so that right. And the only way to do that is to internally heal whatever is going on, so it's finding their own inner strength and actually healing the source of whatever it is. So we have all that. I mean, there's fitness and nutrition and everything's part of our program.
Okay, so you have the fitness, the nutrition, you probably also have coaching is also like psychologically it's so important, I'm guessing, also with your daughter, because like in order to be confident enough for your daughter that has like alopecia, you need to be so rock solid confident internally. And I think that is like 90% psychological. It like takes the motivation to like, I don't know, look at yourself in the mirror every morning and just recite to yourself, I love you. You're beautiful. You're strong. Like, I think there has to be so much that goes into it. That's like psychological.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, we have a whole mindset part of our program. It's like the inner work we do. One of our coaches is a therapist. Like we do real work. Like it's not just like our coaches are professionals, and we do a lot of somatic work, like somatic, which is like real, like healing stuff. Yeah. You can't look in the mirror and just say, I'm beautiful. And internally you don't believe it at all. So it's like, you need to go into like, why don't I feel like this? What underneath all those things is actually going on for me? So, for example, I'll give you a real example. Yeah. I'm just tiny, right? I'm 4'11". I was so insecure about my height. And to think about it like this, I felt so small mentally that when I talk, nobody, like, no one's gonna listen. I'm so small. I'm so unimportant. Like, I felt emotionally small, right? Yeah. And no one knew. I looked so confident. I was so, like, confident, right? And now I'm somebody who speaks and everybody listens. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy. Like from going from the extreme, but it's because internally I feel so big, right? So there is no insecurity about my smallness anymore. I was like ashamed of myself, but right. It's like building like who I am and actually going to the source of where that came from. It's only then are you able to actually heal. And that's the real work, you know, that we do with our clients, because everybody has those things.
Right. I think also sometimes when someone like stands out with their height or with their differences, it gives them like a louder voice. And I also can see how the world can seem daunting for someone who's a little bit different. Like today I was walking in the morning and I saw this a midget girl on the other side of the street. She asked me for like help for directions. And like, I offered to help her. She was walking in the same direction as me. So we're walking together. And there was this couple that was passing by, and like they both just happened to laugh about something. Like I was trying to put myself in her shoes, and I was trying to think, like, if I was her and I saw these people look my way and laugh, I would probably think they're laughing at me. And like the world can seem like such a dark place when it's like that. So like to get out of your world and to reach a place where you're so like so confident, it sounds like a revolution. It sounds like a really something that would take so many years.
Right. Well, so it's like, it's interesting because you know, when my daughter was little, people used to be like, look at that girl, she has no hair, right? Like kids say whatever they want. And she would come over to me and be like, you say I don't have any hair. And I'll be like, okay, like no emotion. Do you have any hair? She's like, no. Someone, I would say, I would look at you if I didn't have any hair. I would look at you if I was them. Wouldn't you look at yourself? Like, oh, okay. I was like, cool, let's go talk to them. And then we just go right back. So it's like not, so someone could be perfect and think everyone's laughing at them because they're insecure. So
right.
Really, you know what I mean? So the energy like that, I was like, you're unique, right? Like she's like, when Mashiach comes, I don't think I want hair. Like, it's not who I am. Like, she's like, why would I ever want hair? Like, it's such a weird thing to want. Like, she's like, it would be so weird for me, right? Like, it's something that like, it's not like, it almost never comes up as something, there's nothing deficient. She's not missing anything at all, right? And that's how she believes, because like, it's building that, like, yes, that inner confidence of, you know, not like also not denying that you have that feeling, but also like being like real with yourself, real with like our kids, and not like jumping in to fix them or save them and stuff like that, right? Because like you can have like, a person who has everything and think people are laughing at them and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know. So that like what we do like in Spirit for Life is like we want every woman to have that inner strong girl, like have that inner warrior, so that they're not affected by every single thing that's going on around them. Like if you're solid, you're solid, right? And that it takes, like, for me to be at this place right now and not care about other people's opinions and do what I feel is best for me. Oh, it is like the most freeing feeling. I walk down the street and I'm like, I can't believe I got here, right? Like I know how I used to feel, and that's also what helps me help people, because I know that feeling. I know how it feels.
Yeah.
Right. So it's definitely dedication and commitment, but it's achievable for anybody.
Do you think there's one thing that you do in your day-to-day life that gives you that inbuilt enthusiasm and confidence day-to-day?
So I think for me, it's more of like I don't have an easy life, and I didn't have it easy. But one thing that I have is that I never give up. Like, I always believe that if I keep going, I will one day get there. Like, I believe I can have it. And not everybody believes that. People stop and say, I can't ever get that. I will never get that. Or I don't have what it takes. Or I have like a relentless, like people call me like tenacious, right? Like, I'm not going to give up. No matter like how much and how many times I fall and I'm like doing the same thing, it's not working, I believe one day it will work. And that's what I tell my clients, because they'll fail a million times. But why? Because one day it will become easy. And that's what you need. Like, expect failure. And I do. I don't expect it to be easy, but I expect to get to the place that I can feel inner like joy and love and completeness, you know?
Yeah. I think in order, that's great. I really admire that. And I think it's not every day that you find people that are so convicted and with such a strong belief that they'll find the success. And I really truly think that the only way to reach that success is when you embrace failure. So I had a friend who, it was like their ritual every Shabbat, every Friday night, they would go in a round and everyone would talk about their failures for that week.
Oh, I love that.
Everyone
That's
would
awesome.
Say like how they failed, and they learned to embrace it so well that they just weren't afraid of it anymore. They're just like,
that's
okay,
so great.
Yeah, this is how you get it. So speaking of this conviction, I also saw that you were on Ninja Warriors. So how did you get onto there, and what was it like for you being on there?
So how did I get on there? So it was 2 years ago when I first entered. What the first reason why I wanted to enter, like to start training for Ninja, was like a personal thing. Like I wanted to challenge myself physically and mentally. I'm used to being like the strongest and best, and right, especially amongst like religious women, but even in general. Like, so I wanted to do something that I knew that would be actually really hard for me, and I wouldn't be on the top, because mentally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say like the mental part of doing Ninja is the biggest breakthrough for me. There were so many things that I was so scared of, like losing control. That's an emotional thing. So I want to feel in control. It makes me feel safe. So when I have to jump to a high bar that I don't know if I'll make it, I can do the craziest things if I know I'm going to make it. But if I don't know I'm going to make it, it could be the simplest thing to someone else. I get scared. and then I freeze or something. So to break through that in my brain was so huge. And that's one of the big things that I did it. You and probably, as soon as I started,
you probably need to do it so many times to get that confidence that you will, that you will.
So pass. I will, I will try, I will do one movement for an hour and a half straight until I get it, when most people will give up before they ever get it. So people are like, how do you, I'm like, you don't understand. I spent two private lessons doing this one movement. And the coaches were like, what is wrong with you? I'm still scared. Right? Like, they're like, what are you scared of? Like, they call me a fruity cat. Right? But I'm like going to keep doing it because I know that I will get it. I don't care how long it takes. So that, you right? So, you know, that was huge for me. And as soon as I got there, I was like, okay, I want to be the first woman on the show in a skirt so I can represent like Orthodox Jewish women. And, you know, it's like, I just wanted to show up there and just be like, look, like all you people out there who like, so, you know, my messages I got from mothers from about their daughters, like they all showed it to their daughters, like, look, there's and to inspire them, just show them, like, sometimes people feel like, oh, it's so unfair, we can't do this stuff. Like, I felt that as a kid. Like, I wish I could have went to public school so I could have been on the sports teams and like, right. So like, you know, there's opportunities, you know, from people. Also, like, if they have dreams, whatever your dream is, go after it. And for the world to see, like, a Kiddush Hashem, for, like, there are Orthodox people on Netflix that are, not, you know, not just the ones you see on Netflix. Because actually, people there, I was the first Orthodox Jew they met in person in their lives.
Kiddush Hashem.
You know? So, you know, though that was, those are the draws for me to, like, actually, you know, go there, do that, be on the show. And the second year was, I was on last year, and the second year was when, like, I switched my goal, like changed a little bit. I internalized so much pressure the first year, like I have to move, right? And I froze, like mentally I froze. Like, So the second year, my only goal was like, I need to make myself proud. Like the only person who needs to be proud is me. Like that's why, right? And then after that, whatever, right? So, and my goal, what made me proud was if I could be mentally there and enjoy it. And I completely like, the whole experience was different. And then that's when we had, like, NBC came to the house and they did a whole episode on Shabbos and, you know.
Well, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I had to send it to you. I lit Shabbos candle, this whole thing. We were all dressed for Shabbos. It was really cool.
That is so unique. Wow. That's so, and I love it how you started it through the fitness, through the sport. Like, who would have known how, like, one Kiddush Hashem can, like, lead you in a whole other direction and, like, the impact that you make on people's lives also without knowing it. I didn't know. So you were there for 2 years. You did it 2 years at Ninja Warriors?
Yeah. So the first year there was like, they didn't air anything because I fell right away. And they're like, we want to wait for you to like do a little better so that we can make like a better story about you. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the second year was when, you know, I flew down with all my kids. They're all they're all involved, which is also, I love that they got to be involved. Like I do so many things without them, like my business and all this stuff. And like, this was something that they could be involved in. Like they all flew out and they were all on the TV and they were so excited about it. Like they were part of the story, which I really wanted for them to like, be able to like be in it with me to like, not me just doing something without them. So that was a big thing. And then they came to our house and that's when this past June was like aired like across the world, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool. And what surprised me is that like the other people that were performing on it, that were competing on it, they were like serious athletes, like serious, buff and like built.
Yeah.
And like, here you are, like, are you a serious athlete? I mean, you have to be, I guess. Like, how did that start?
So, yeah, I mean, so so there are people on there that like the advantage they have is they have experience with competition. I have zero experience. So if you're a gymnast or you know how to perform under pressure, like you've done it before, you know how to go, you're right. Trained, like you've done so many, like almost everybody there has been in multiple competitions. For me, I haven't even been in local competitions because they're on Shabbos. So like you can be a serious athlete, but like have that skill, right? So, like the TV's in your face. Most of those people have been in at least college, you know? So that was my disadvantage. So I am like, I'm not a professional athlete, but I have like I am an athlete, meaning that like my strength is not regular. right? Like if you see some of the stuff that I do, it's not regular for like, So like if I was in like powerlifting competitions, all this stuff, like I would be able to, I was never ever seriously trained for anything, you know?
Incredible. So when did you start training?
So fitness has been my like savior my whole life, I would say, like since I was a teenager. It's I would say like it kept me off drugs, like it really kept me out of trouble. But because like since I was young, like a teenager, I moved. Like that's how I got my energy out. That's how I got my emotions, like whatever I was going through, I used movement to help me like a lot. It made me feel good, empowered.
Or were you just hyper, or like what was it that helped?
No, there was stuff that was going on in my life personally that like I had a lot of anger, and so you know, so a lot of times I would go run or I would ride my bike, do anything like in that, you know, to be able to just let out a lot of stress. I would say that age. Obviously, as I get older, I learned how to use it in a better way, and now it's completely balanced. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it tremendously. Like there's, you know, it's like my happy place. So it's something that my whole life was like some, you know, that gave me a lot of like positivity. Like my daughter that we're talking about, Tila, she wakes at 5:30 every morning, and exercises. She feels like she focuses better, and she's also strong, and she sees me doing that. She just copies me, you know. She's way healthier than I was at her age. What?
You also wake up at 5:30?
Yes. I work out before I wake up my kids. Because I work all day. So like I work out, I wake up really early, it's dark, I go to the gym, I work out, I come home, I wake them up, I sit down and work the second they leave. And then when they come home, that, you know, so not, I wouldn't really get into it. But I always tell moms, like, if you have a little baby, I don't have a little baby, man, this is 5. And I had little babies, I did not wake up if my baby didn't wake me up. Right. So there's a time period in your life what it's right for. Like, yeah. You know, like you're not waking up extra early when you have a baby that you're waking up to nurse in the middle of the night.
Right.
You know.
At what age do you think it was that you were able to have that luxury of just waking up earlier to start your day?
Right. So before I'd say it also has to do with my work. Like if I didn't have, like before when I didn't have this, like when I didn't own the Spirit for Life, I would work out after I dropped my kids off.
Yeah.
You know, why would I wake up extra early? But so I just dropped them off and then I would go to the gym. Right. So it's really like what's going to work best for you in your life.
Right.
For me, it's like, it's such a good way to start my day. I'm always in a better mood when I wake up my kids. I feel like I filled myself up a little bit. I feel like I had time for myself. So like, I do really like how my day goes after that.
Yeah, for sure. And I really hear what you're saying also about Tehillah, like about the concentration throughout school. Like for me also, whenever I exercise, even if I'm not combining it with a diet, just exercising, you come back, you feel energized, you feel clean, like emotionally clean. And you just can just like face your day, tackle whatever you need to do. It just gives you energy. It's incredible. And like, I think for me, it also initially started because I wanted like weight loss. I really wanted to lose weight. So I started going walking, and then it led to running. And then I think I've been running like for the past 7 years of my life. And like when I run now, it's an emotional experience. My friend calls it floating through the air. Like feeling the breeze on your skin, and you're connecting with the nature, trees, and it's just like it's an almost out of body experience. Every time I try it, like you hit that point in your run where you feel the rush of the adrenaline. And I think like once you turn it from like a pain, like from a pain to something pleasurable, there's nothing beats it.
Right. The thing is that most people don't ever get to feel that feeling, right? Like if you're heavy and you're exercising, it does not feel good. If you're out of shape and you're exercising, if you're weak, even if no matter you're super thin and weak, it does not feel good, right? Mm-hmm. So most people don't ever get to that place because they hate it, so they don't do it. And that's why it's so much of what we do is it's all mental, right? Like mentally, you need to mentally be strong in order to get to that place.
Right. But I think that there's different types of exercises. Like what I do, my floating when I jog, that's like a comfort place that I reach. Some people will look at me and be like, Hannah, that's like not even sports. Like you're just staying in the same place. You're not improving. It's not like muscle work, or it's not, you're not really, improving yourself. And then sometimes I see my friends who do CrossFit and they're lifting these crazy weights. And like I see them that they're struggling. Like when they're doing it, they're not enjoying themselves per se. They're hustling, and that's hard. And I think it's like
Right.
different styles of workouts. And I think that just it's different,
It depends on what your goals are. It depends on what you want. Like it really depends on what the motivation is. So it's, it's whatever it is, it's if your motivation is to be physically like muscled and lift a certain amount, and that pain is enjoyable. Of course it hurts. Who cares? You love it. It kills. Like I collapse almost every time. Like after I push myself to like failure sometimes. I love it. Kills, so fun. Like it's just like so it's not necessarily net equal to negative, but if I was in the headspace of, oh, this is so hard, I'm so tired, how am I gonna do this, my workout's gonna be so hard, right? But if you just change the way you think about it, change the way, even if you can't lie to yourself, you can't be like, oh, I love this, but it's like, this is so hard, I'm not enjoying this, but I'm doing this because I know it's good for me. And just even thinking like that changes things, like mentally changing the way you think about how you do stuff. It shifts, because it doesn't matter if I'm in the mood to exercise. If you run your life by your moods, which most people do, then you'll never get anywhere, because one day you'll be in a good mood, one day you'll be in a bad mood, one day you'll be angry, one day you'll be happy. It doesn't work like that. Like that's why discipline, like it's not about motivation. I always tell everyone, I'm like, motivation is fleeting. I'm never motivated. Only sometimes. Sometimes I'm motivated, but most of the time it's not that I'm motivated, I'm disciplined. So when you learn discipline, that's when you'll be able to maintain or keep or do whatever you want to do, right? So anything extreme is like, I'm holding on so tight, but eventually your grip has to let go, and then and then everything goes. So that's the difference between actually building as opposed to jumping in and going extreme to something, you know?
I wanted to ask you, it's a little bit of a personal question, but like I see you as someone that's very fit. Like, are you naturally like fit? Are you naturally in this like, shape or not? And when you exercise, do you feel like you're doing it to stay fit, or is it more to build muscle?
Right. Okay, good question. So let me just backtrack a job. People ask me a lot of times, like, how could you talk about weight loss or any of this stuff? Like, you're so small, you never have to lose weight. And it's like you don't understand how I feel, which validation, like, meaning that, like, it's like telling somebody like who, let's say, had a child pass, like, you don't know what it feels like, right? So let me explain to you what I always say, which is like, if you struggle with an unhealthy relationship with yourself, like your body, it's something, it's gonna manifest differently on the outside for every person. So you might look heavy, I might look thin, I might look like just regular, you might not know, but internally I'm suffering just as much as someone who'd be, let's say, heavy. It's just gonna look different and maybe even be a slightly different, but the pain is similar pain, right? So which means like the internal turmoil of hating how you look, being disgusted with yourself, right? All that kind of stuff. So that's why I could relate to anybody who struggles with any type of sort of body image, uncomfortable with themselves, that kind of thing, because I was there, right? And that's also why I'm so strong on the fact of like, you can change the way you look, but if you don't change what's going on inside, you will stay the same. Meaning your relationship with yourself won't actually change. It'll always be a fear that you'll gain it back. You'll keep wanting more. You'll never actually be happy if you don't change actually what's going on inside. Because I pretty much have similar body that I had 20 years ago, but I hated, I wanted to die, like, and get reborn in a different body. Like I was so ashamed of myself. So to how I am now, which is like, woohoo, pose naked, right? Meaning like extremes, but you get what I'm saying, like, right? So that's that. So yes, someone might need to, that doesn't mean you don't value the fact of like a physical change, because to that person, that goal is very important. Right, which, but we want to do it. So that's how, like, that's not why, like, I can understand someone like that. Me myself, I was, I'm naturally like a thin person. That doesn't mean if I didn't work out that I would probably not be like, I would just probably just be like an average type, like, average weight, average, like I wouldn't just be those people who eat whatever they want and be thin, like that. I would just, but when you, let's say my physical strength, by working out the way I work out, which is not obsessively, it's like maybe four to five times a week max, like 1 hour. And it's only because I want to, like I don't even count, I don't even know, I don't plan anything. I just walk in there like it's a playground and do whatever. So I'm not trying to build, I'm not trying to anything, I'm just trying to like I want to make keep what I have, and if more muscle grows because I'm doing something because I like it, it will come. Like, you know, so that's kind of how I look at it at this point. But I have people could work out as much as me and never ever have, or even five times as much as me and not have the same physical strength. So I have, like, it's like Beattie, like you have to train like crazy, but you intrinsically, you have a talent that you are like, I think every athlete has a natural talent that when they train right, their talent comes out. That makes sense?
It's like people that the second they start dieting, they just like remove it in seconds.
Right.
The word in Hebrew, mashilim, and say.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like really fast results. Actually, I think I'm like that. I think for me, whenever I want to lose weight, I lose weight really fast, but then I love eating. For me, like, I love food. It just, like, I'll diet for two weeks. I'll be like, that's it. I can't do this anymore.
Right.
It's always the 2 months.
That's why, right. Yes. So that's why we, you know, how we coach our whole nutrition method. It's not like, it's lifestyle. So how you're going to eat is the way you want to eat for the rest of your life. Because as soon as you're on a diet, you feel restricted. You're missing out. You're not eating your favorite foods. Like every single, like we should eat our favorite foods all the time, but like in ways that are better for our body. So it's not that you're not on a diet, but like, I don't want to eat margarine all day. So how do I make that cookie with healthier ingredients and then have them every Shabbos, right? It's all like about balance, because in general, I want to feed myself highest, like I'm a high quality person. I deserve it. So why would I give myself garbage? It's a different way of looking at it. So making sure that we eat the foods that we like in a balanced way and in a healthier version, so that you can maintain it and you don't feel like you're missing something, you know?
Yeah, you know who's really good with that? There's Get Fit Ima, Ilanit Giorno. She does that. And she's always like just giving out different recipes, and she also speaks a lot about lifestyle. But so what I wanted to ask you is, so when you go to this, the playground, I love it that you refer it to like that. It sounds like fun and exciting. I want to start going back to the playground. Like, so do you focus more on cardio or muscles?
So yeah, like cardio, I almost never do like just straight cardio ever. Like I don't go on machine treadmills and like, oh, maybe I warm up like that, like to warm up my joints, 5, maybe 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then it's almost everything I do is like strength, like it's endurance. Mm-hmm. So like, meaning, so it's like strength endurance. So like I do like crazy high jumps, but I also like, I'll balance on like, on the foam rollers, and I'll squat on foam rollers while I'm throwing a ball at a trampoline, like literally. So I'm like standing on a foam roller, like trying to bounce, and then I'm throwing a ball at a trampoline that costs 12, that like weighs 12 pounds, and I have to catch it without falling off. So that's like my whole entire body is engaged. Mm-hmm. Every part of me is like my, like core, everything's being working, and then my heart rate's going up because I'm throwing the ball. So that's like my style of training. Like, it's very unique. Like I'm like a show at the gym. I'm like, what is she training for? Like I do the weirdest stuff.
Crazy.
It's so fun.
Fierce. That's really fierce. That's incredible. And I understand you do this wearing a skirt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's like on a skirt, of course.
Yes. I love your skirt. It's so cute.
Thank you.
It fits me so well, which is rare. And I love how it looks so cute on.
I love it. I love it that you're getting so much use out of it. And like, you just, it looks so natural on you. Like it was made for you.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
I love it. Yeah.
So, but that's also a Kiddush Hashem, walking into the gym in Arizona.
Yeah.
And just rocking your skirt and exercising. Like, what's it like for you? What's it like for you wearing a skirt while you exercise?
So it depends. Like sometimes I like it and sometimes I hate it. Like honestly, you know?
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's cool like to stand out and to be like represent something, and you know, like it's you don't just blend. Like I don't blend because like not just because I'm wearing a skirt, because of what I do, like my athletic ability, you know? Yeah. So it's knowing that like it's a responsibility,
right?
You know, to like represent something. And then there's other times that you just there's other times that I'm just like, why don't I love like showing off my muscles and, it's so fun.
Yeah.
Like it's not to show up, but it's not about like showing off, but it's like it's about like someone explained
feeling
it. You have a nice painting, do you like keep it in like your closet? No, like it's like there's like you're feeling like it's fun. I like looking at myself like like while I'm working out and like seeing my, like, so it's just, it's a mix, you know? Yeah.
Like looking at your accomplishments. Yeah. When I was in kindergarten, I used to paint pictures. I used to leave gone kindergarten, literally walking out to the car. Like if this was my painting, I would be like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool. Like for everyone to see, because that's the whole fun, right? You want to like share it with everyone when you're proud of what you're doing. So that's really great. And like, I mean, I know it can be frustrating and also just like exciting sometimes. Like for me also when I'm covering my hair, and for me it's still new covering my hair. I'm just about to celebrate like 1 year being married. But like still sometimes I'm like, I look at, you know, my sister who doesn't cover her hair and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, sometimes like I want to be like that. Like I want to be religious and not cover the hair. But then I'm like thinking, no, but right now like this is meaningful to me. And like so where does tsniut come into your life? How do you relate to it today?
I'm trying to think. Like, how do I relate to it? What do you mean? Like, what do you mean by that?
Like, when you dress this way, like when you dress like wearing skirts and you have the extra coverage, like, what does it mean to you? Is it just like that you're used to it, so you just do it? Or like, do you do it?
I don't really do anything because I'm used to it. Like that's like I'm a questioner. Like I question everything. It just like I am also. I don't like being a Jew that's like a cultural Jew. Like I don't care what. Like I don't want to do things. I like to be different anyway. So like just because you're doing it doesn't mean it's right. There's a mix. It's very like not sensitive. It's a very complex like thing for me to like comprehend in a lot of ways. Because it's not so black and white. Like a lot of the stuff are not so black and white. So just one thing that I really identify with is also like when you're dressing a certain way, you're also identifying with certain people, right? And that alone is something, right? It's like saying like I'm part of that, right? I believe in that, or I support that, or whatever it is, right? And I stand for something. There's a lot of things that come along with it, you know. And understanding that, like when that's that represents something, right? Like modesty and value and all that kind of stuff, you know? So to me, that's like a big part of also, which is not necessarily like talked about, it's more of like rules or stuff like that. That's something that like, you know, I think about a lot, you know, when standing out and stuff like that.
Yeah. And how does it make you feel when you dress more modest?
How does it make me feel? I mean, I think that it shifts the emphasis and the energy just on the physical, because it's not about covering up. Like it's not, to me, it's not just about like, it's not about like you shouldn't look like it's inappropriate, right? But it's balancing out the physical and the spiritual, like right? So it makes it more balanced. And if like you're in barely dressed, then it's like it's very imbalanced, right? So you can't really see the spiritual because it's so glaring, let's say the physical.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of my friends who are, some of them are really talented. And like when I see their profiles, like when they share what they actually create instead of just them, it's like it allows me to dive deeper into who they are, into their train of thought, into their creativity. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like when I see only pictures of them, then it's like it reaches a limit to how deep you can go and how interested I think the audience.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Like that's how I like view kind of everything. Like I love hearing about why people do things. Like what do you do for your career? Like why? Like it just helps. It's like such an understanding of like how people think and feel, and so like that, like when you. Like almost like you can't like you don't like it's there's so much attention there, so like it's hard to like even like whatever. And I think even for females to females, like when someone walks in the room, they're like glamorous and like let's like you imagine an extreme, right? They're wearing like the latest and everything. Yeah. And tons, like, you know, who cares who they are? Where'd you get your stuff from? Or you don't even know like who they are, but like it's just like whoa, like all you can see is that because it's so different, right? So it's kind of like. Nobody really says, like, I'm going to get to know her. And I wonder, like, how connected she is with her soul. Like, no one's going to say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's true. It's fun sometimes making friends with someone who, like, Dafka isn't all shiny and sparkly. Like, yeah, and who are you? What's your story? And then it's then you're always surprised, you know? Then the light seems bigger. Anyway, speaking of
100%.
Light, as you can see in the background, we're looking at candles of the fifth night of Hanukkah. And like whoever is listening to this and who doesn't know about Hanukkah, Hanukkah is one of our holidays where we celebrate the miracle of the oil lasting in Beit HaMikdash for the entire 8 days in the Heichal. And I just wanted to ask you, like, how are you celebrating Hanukkah, and what is this Chag? What does it mean to you?
So, how am I celebrating Hanukkah? So, but this is my first Hanukkah being a single mom, getting a personal over here, and it's a little bit of a different experience than, let's say, my usual Hanukkah, right? But it's also at the same time so empowering. And I'm explaining to you why. For me, Hanukkah represents like the small, like the how the like the small conquered like the mighty, right? Like the Maccabim, they didn't have the good weapons, they weren't shiny, they weren't right, they didn't have everything prepared, and they were just so few, and they were able to conquer like the mightiest army, which is insane, right? Which means that they believe in something so strongly, and their belief in that conquered everything. That's how I try to live my life in general. Like, I don't have anything that someone else doesn't have. Why was I able to build a company so fast that was successful? I'm not a better education. I'm not smarter. I just, right, like I said in the beginning, I just believe that I could do it, right? Because I have because behind that is a strong belief, right? Meaning, why they win? Because they believed in they believe in Hashem. They believe in Torah. They believe that this is the way that they should live, right? So for me, it's like my belief in helping women in debt, all this kind of stuff, and in my own personal life, is so strong that it happens, that it's possible, right? And physically, I'm small. I mean, everything. So it's like, and I think every single person, every single individual, like we all have our inner warrior. We need to access it. We need to build our weapons, right? Like in our positive way, like we need to build our emotional, physical strength so that we can be strong enough when we're faced with whatever it is, right? Struggles, personal struggles.
And we will,
right? So no matter, right? Everybody does, exactly. And that's like, and that's what it is. Like when you face those struggles, no matter how hard your life is, if you have that inner strength, right? And joy, it might be hard and painful, but it won't break you, and you can still have joy amongst the pain because there's this solid strength internally, right? So if we can all access that, like we will all experience better relationships, better joy, everything in life, you know?
Yeah. I saw that you shared a picture of the inner warrior, the inner Hanukkah warrior. Tell me more about the warrior.
Yeah, I mean, I like in my dreams, I'm like an Amazon woman, like, you know, that's just like, literally, you know, like that's what I would like, you know, part of myself. But it's just like, I think that specifically in the firm world, like we don't talk about like women being strong, right? Like, and if you look at our like history, like women were strong, like they were, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, we talk about like, yeah, certain strength, but like quietly, or like they're not telling girls in school like strong. They're not saying those stuff. Like they're right. Even when they talk about modesty, they're not saying they're not empowering. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like small. It's like, you know, this quote of like, I'll no longer put myself into places that I don't fit, like make myself small. So, right. Yeah. So it's like, if we can like talk about that, like where's your inner strong girl, like that warrior inside of you, to our kids, to ourselves, like how much more empowering is that? Like, you know, to be able to feel like that, like that's a powerful, like stand like that and feel like when I felt small and I was working on myself, I would stand up on a chair, make myself huge like this, like my hands would be up, and I would just say, like I would literally feel in my heart, like you are, like, but emotionally, like how big I am, right? Like meaning how emotionally important I am and unique I am, and then I would get on a call with a potential client and I believed in myself, right? Because I would like feel it, and I physically made myself big, because that's a power thing, right? If you sit like this and you try to say you are great, it's not gonna work, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like, that's the power pose of like, I am a warrior, you know, And yeah. that, yes, and that doesn't, like, and it's, it means being feminine. It doesn't mean, like, I need to be, like, tough, not at all. Like, the fact of if you could be, if you want to be super feminine, then that should be who you should be with strength. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so, yeah.
Wow. That's really great. I heard something about from Chabad that Dov Bereshnerson, the rabbi, said that when you're looking into the lights, you have to like listen. You have to listen to what they're telling you. Listen and look and see what they're telling you. And they compare it to like the dance of the neshama. And so like for me, I was single actually a really long time. I was dating. Also getting personal here. I was like in the dating circle for like 7 years. And I remember like the nights where I would look into the light and like, I would just like look at the fire. And I would like pour my heart out. I would like pour my heart out and pray and just connect with the fire. And I think it's just such a beautiful part of Judaism that we have that.
Yeah.
Those really. Minutes of prayers. And I didn't know about your you know, this is your first year as a single mom, but I think yeah, Hanukkah is such a like strengthening chag, so I'm sure it's going to give you the strength that you need, and mm-hmm. It sounds like you have all the motivation that you need. It's just like a matter of time until you conquer your dreams and conquer these milestones you're building towards.
Yes, yeah. And this will end up like an example. Like I posted a video yesterday about like, look out, there are people who are sad and alone on this time of year, right? And I got a bunch of messages like, hope you're like sending me strength, right? Which in the past I would be like, oh, people are gonna think I'm talking about myself, and I'm like, oh, I don't care. If people think it's about me, then awesome. But it's I know, and like I sent that message out for other people, right? So that's like not caring. I mean, living your life like. Knowing your strength, and if other people see differently, or it doesn't matter because you are good inside yourself, right? So mm-hmm. like that's just that inner strength is like no one else. It's you. It's about your own self. It's about doing hard things and not doing things just because other people are going to say or think something. It's about like being that solid, strong self within your own self, so that you can then go be physically strong, reach on all your goals and everything, you know.
Yeah, that's a really
yes.
message. It's incredible that you've reached that inner confidence, that you're able to do that. So I wanted to give your followers and whoever's listening to this a special offer on our sportswear, Hanabana. I wanted to give them a 10% discount on the website by using LIBA10 coupon code. And of course, you know, I'm just really inspired by what you're doing and the path that you're on. So I hope more women can also benefit from, you know, building their strength and looking cute while they do it. And I don't know, this was so much fun to hear more, and just understand more of your stories.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Thanks for listening, everyone.